Grace, mercy, peace, and joy be yours through a knowledge of God our Father, through faith in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon today is the third in our series on Samson, taken from the book of Judges, chapter 16. Today's text begins at verse 23. I won't be reading it now, but will be through the course of the sermon. But if you'd like to have your pew Bible open to the right page, you want to be on page 256. Once again, Judges chapter 16, verse 23, pew Bible page 256. In June, we've been studying one of the most intriguing characters of the Bible. We've seen that Samson was a man who was richly blessed by God. Even before he was born, God set him apart for a special purpose. And then after his birth, he was called by God and empowered by God with supernatural strength. God's purpose in all of this was that he might use Samson as an instrument to deliver his people, the Israelites, from their longtime nemesis, the Philistines. And yet Samson failed. Time and again, he miserably failed. He was a Nazirite, which means he took a special vow before God, and he shattered that vow, chasing after all the wrong women, touching things that he had no business touching, and drinking things that he was forbidden to drink. Sad to say, Samson wasn't spirit-led, he was emotion-driven. Step by step, little by little, he squandered everything God had given to him and ruined his life. In the Word of God before us today, we see Samson as a prisoner to the Philistines. His eyes have been gouged out, and he's chained to this big grinding wheel designed for oxen. It is to this that his life has been reduced. Walking, pushing this big wheel around and around, hour after hour, day after day. He's on public display for all the Philistines who see him to mock him and ridicule him. Truth be told, you really can't get any lower than where Samson is now. Which begs the question, what do you do when you realize that you've failed miserably? You've really messed up. You've wasted years of your life. You've squandered away all the blessings God has graciously given you. You've done things that can't be undone. You've hurt the people that you love the most. In short, you haven't done what God designed you to be and called you to do. Today being Father's Day, I want to address the men specifically here. Not because women aren't involved, but because I believe that we who are men find our worth in things different than where women find theirs. Statistically, women find their worth in relationships. They ask questions like, can we be friends? Do you like me? Can we hug? Can we kiss? You haven't texted back in 72 seconds. Are we still best friends? That's how God, in general, has designed women. For them, it's all about relationships, but not us guys. While we don't mind being liked, we tend to find our worth, our value, in our accomplishments. I want to know, how do I measure up? Did I do a project well? Did we win? Ask a woman if she'd rather be liked or respected, and 9 times out of 10, she's going to say liked. Ask a man that same question, and 90% of the time, he's going to say respected. And that's why, generally speaking, a man's greatest fear is failure, and his greatest pain is regret. Perhaps you look back and realize that your failed marriage was pretty much your fault. You could have made it work, but you really didn't try. Maybe your kids have all turned their backs on you because you weren't there for them when they were little. Perhaps you're the guy who regrets not getting married. Now you're all alone, and you wish that you had done things differently. Perhaps you're frustrated with your career, your job, that it just isn't going anywhere. All of your friends are far ahead of you, and because of that, you feel like a failure. Perhaps it's an inward failure that really has gotten to you. You made a promise to God or to yourself that you'd never do something again, and guess what? You did it again. The story of Samson teaches us a powerful lesson. Just because I failed at something doesn't mean that I'm a failure. In fact, a failure is an event, not a person. We've seen how Samson failed again and again in so many ways, and yet God used him to accomplish his purpose. That's such good news for us today, especially for us who are fathers. If we've failed at something, we are not a failure. Let's discover how that truth unfolds in our text today. Judges chapter 16, beginning with verse 23. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." Did you know that there was a day when Samson had captured 300 foxes, tied them together, tail to tail, and then lit those tails on fire, and these foxes scattered through the crop fields and destroyed them all? Or that once Samson had grabbed the jawbone of a donkey and put to death 1,000 powerful Philistine warriors? No wonder these Philistines were having such a great time whooping it up and celebrating. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. Now, I don't think that Samson put on a dog and pony show for them. Most likely, he was forced to stand before them in chains and listen to their slurs and their insults and their mockery. Truth be told, this is the ultimate low for Samson. He's failed his God, he's failed his people, he's failed himself. Now, there are two possible responses to failure. The natural response is remorse, sometimes called contrition, feeling bad about what I've done. Sometimes this remorse turns inward and causes me to say things like, "I'm a bad person. I'm no good. I'm horrible." Sometimes this remorse turns outward and directs its attention at other people and makes me a victim. Sad to say, there may be some of you men here today who from last week recall just one verse from that text, namely, "With such nagging, Delilah prodded Samson day after day until he was sick to death of it. And you told me that you couldn't memorize scripture. All humor aside, the natural response to failure is remorse, whether it's directed inwardly or outwardly. But there's a second response to failure, and it's by far the better one. In fact, it's the godly one. It's repentance, admitting my wrong, confessing my sin, and then turning to the God of grace and mercy for the forgiveness and the strength I need to carry on. Repentance is a word that always revolves a turning around, a heading in the opposite direction. Remorse focuses our attention on the bad. Repentance focuses our attention on the good and gracious God that we have in Jesus Christ. This is how our small catechism puts all of this. Confession has two parts. The one is that we confess our sins. That's remorse. The other, that we receive absolution or forgiveness. That's repentance. By inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John tells us, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We repent to be assured by God that in Christ we are forgiven. I believe that Samson came to that point in his life where he genuinely repented. He wasn't just remorseful, but he repented. By God's grace, Samson remembered who he was set apart to be and what he was called to do. In a sense, when he lost his physical eyesight, he really began to see. By the grace of God, Samson recognized something that all of us here need to recognize. All of us were created and redeemed by God for a specific person, a specific purpose, to do something significant, to make a difference in the lives of others for their eternity. It's at the end of his turbulent life that Samson finally realizes this, continuing in our text. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women, 3,000 men and women all the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. In many ways, Samson's life is a tragedy. It's an example of what not to do. Turn our backs on God. Squander all the blessings that he graciously has given us. But it's also a powerful lesson that even when we fail, God can and does use us. My friends, even when we mess up, it's not over. We're not defined by what we've done. We're defined by what God has told us we are. In Christ, we are his dear sons and daughters. In Christ, we are bearers of his name. If we are not dead, God is not done with us. What Paul was once inspired to write to the Ephesians, he also writes to us. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. When we repent, we trust God's promise to forgive us, to strengthen us, and to give us real purpose and meaning in living. And so quit living your lives in remorse and live instead in repentance. Lift up your head and turn to God. Be assured of his forgiveness in Christ. That's why Jesus lived. That's why Jesus suffered and died. That's why Jesus rose again. Ask the Lord to raise you up again. Believe his tender promise, a bruised reed I will not break, and a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. You have the same Spirit living in you that once raised Christ from the dead, and that Spirit will strengthen you again. You may be down, but in Christ you are never out. You can be God's blessing to others, a leader, an example of how God can use you and your weakness to do great things. But let me tell you what it's going to take. Like Samson, there are pillars in your life that you need to push down. And so my question for you today is, what are the pillars in your life that need to come down? And let's not kid ourselves. All of us have pillars in our lives that need to come down. Maybe it's the pillar of pride. Perhaps it's the pillar of anger. Maybe it's the pillar of taking what others say in an unkind and unjust way. My goodness, there are as many pillars in our lives as there are people present here today. There's arrogance. There's gossiping. There's fear. There's wallowing in self-pity. There's the refusal to take what others say and do in the kindest possible way. When all of these pillars are stripped down to their core, they're all sin. And we need to take that sin to our God in remorse, heartfelt and sincere sorrow, but at the same time in repentance, trusting God's promise to forgive, to strengthen, and to restore. In the book of Proverbs, there's this obscure passage. For though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. That's God speaking to you. That's God speaking to me. We may have fallen seven times. We may have blown it 70 times. We may have messed up 700 times and keep going up 7,000, 70,000 times. But God promises to raise us up and do great things through us. The devil's great joy is to take strong men and make them weak. God's great joy is to take weak men and make them strong. How true it is that our extraordinary God does extraordinary things with ordinary people like you and me. He even promises to bless us as we fail forward. Amen. Please stand.